Hello, 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 geeks, freaks, and tomb dwellers, and welcome back to Tombs of Horror. As always, I'm your host, Dustin. Before we kickstart this episode off, I just wanted to say thank you all so much for all the plays that I've gotten on my last episode in defense of with Child's Play 3. The less than 24 hours after I originally released that episode, I had almost 300 plays, and that's the most I have ever gotten on a single episode in less than 24 hours, and I'm just completely speechless that it comes to that. And so thank you, one and all, for all your support and your continued listens to my shitty little podcast where I talk about shit that no one really gives a fuck about. But sincerely, guys, thank you from the bottom of my heart. I really appreciate it. And it shows me that at least someone's listening to something I fucking do. So, since that episode was so popular, I thought I'd do another one defending a horror movie that's generally disliked, or people have lots of issues with. This week's might be a little harder to defend, because for this week, I chose to defend, or at least try to defend, the extremely, extremely controversial 2010 film, a Serbian film. I don't know why the fuck I didn't think about that trailer being in a fucking foreign language, so I apologize. It's not like you could tell fucking anything about the movie from it if you've never seen it. But I'm going to start this out before we get too deep into it by saying that everything I'm saying in this episode, I am basing off of the version of a Serbian film that I have seen. Now, it didn't say anything about it being the edited version or whatever. So, I guess as I go on talking about this movie and trying to defend it, especially a certain scene that I will get to at some point that caused the most controversy in this movie, everything I'm talking about is from the version I have seen. So just keep that in mind as we get deeper into this movie, because I've heard different things from different peoples about this movie after I myself have seen it, so I think there might be several different versions out there. So if maybe you've heard about this movie from other people and what I say conflicts with what they say happened in it or whatever, then it might have been from a different version that I have seen. Now, before we dive too much deeper down the rabbit hole in this episode, I just wanted to give a little warning of sorts some touchy and sensitive subjects will be touched upon in this episode while I try to defend this movie. And I want you to know that I neither condone or support any of these things. And as I try to defend this movie, I want you to push aside everything you may have heard about this, all the shock tactics used, and try to see this movie for what it's really trying to convey. For those of you who don't know what this movie is about, I've talked about it in a previous episode, I believe a way early episode. But in case you haven't heard it, this is basically the story of Milo something or other, an ex-porn star who is approached by a shitty individual into doing one last movie, which he says is going to be an art film. But as movie and story move on, it starts to become rather apparent that there is something much darker and sinister going on here. Now, fans of extreme cinema and brutal horror tend to forgive and expect low production quality in exchange for visceral and realistic gore, top-notch practical effects, and often buckets and buckets of bodily fluid. The general public and standard horror fans alike tend to group much of this, if not the majority of it, into edgelord material. Basically, torture for torture's sake, gratuitous gore for no redeemable reason, pure shock, and nothing else. And they're pretty much right. Even as a fan of some extreme cinema, I must admit that films like the Vomit Gore Trilogy and August Underground can veer into different realms, from found footage to extreme gross-out porn to art film. But many of them can accurately be grouped into the world of edgelord shock, yes. Yet, the most notorious film among the extreme subgenre isn't quite what you've heard of it, or heard of it being. And this, of course, is a Serbian film. And while, yes, it is dark, brutal, and all types of fucked up, there are many things that set it apart from extreme films of its kind. There is a strong political and social message at its core, first and foremost, and while one could argue most of these films have such a message, it's hard to deny that the people involved in this film really believed in the importance of what they were doing. In addition to this message, the film has all the production value of a Hollywood film, with the addition of painful imagery, practical effects, and sinister ideas that create an extreme horror singular vision that's far different from most of what the subgenre has to offer. And like I said, there will be a discussion of extremely horrible things that happen in this film. The film and the discussion of it, is not for the faint of heart or weak of stomach. Even those with far-reaching limits of blood, gore, viscera, and bodily fluids may find a Serbian film hard or even impossible to sit through. And I am one of these people. It was a very hard watch for me. And it even made me uncomfortable. And that's pretty fucking hard to do. But this film really did do that. But seeing as the things that this film deals with, that is completely okay, expected, and valid. Serbian film is depraved, and it's probably better to avoid it if you think it may be triggering for you. And while it is a strong and worthwhile piece of art, a Serbian film is also a dark, damaging, but cathartic one. It wears on the viewer and digs deeply, and as you dig deeper into it, it only makes its effect much more potent. So, if you've never seen this, as I keep saying, I highly, highly suggest caution watching it if you can find a copy, that is, which it can be found on Amazon. But like I said, I usually say, make up your own mind and watch it. But this is one that, while I am defending this in this episode, I highly suggest that you avoid it unless you are one of the most jaded hardcore horror fans. Only then will you be able to stomach it, and probably not even then, because like I said, even I have had problems stomaching this movie. But if you are brave enough, it is worthwhile to explore this film. It's highly effective, well acted, and very disarming. But we'll get to that soon enough. Alright, now I'm going to dive into this a little bit deeper. And another warning, this is where we're going to start talking about some touchy and sensitive subjects. So if you're sensitive to things such as abuse and shit like that, you should probably skip this part, or most of this episode, I guess is the best way to put it. A Serbian film opens with a young boy watching a porn film on his TV. We soon find that the film he's watching stars his father, and his son got a hold of it by mistake. This serves to introduce us to Milos, our hero, I guess, if that's what you want to call him. Milos is a mostly retired porn star, working on other ways to support his family after leaving his career as a well-known adult film actor. We soon meet his brother Marco, and Marco is a corrupt police officer and a disgusting pig of a fucking man. We know right away that he is gross and can't be trusted, but we don't fully grasp it for a while, or why he shouldn't be trusted. He is then summoned by an old friend, and their meeting matches him up with Vukmir Trifonovic for a unique and experimental type of porn project that sets Milos and his family up for life. While back at home, we see Milos struggling with the idea of going back into the business, but ultimately deciding it's what's best for the family. Before he fully crunches in numbers and makes a decision, though, he goes and fucks his wife. This scene is notable because she begs him to fuck her like one of his co-stars. However, once he begins doing this, he notices that she isn't enjoying it, so he changes his approach to a hard but far more loving style, showing that he's in tune with her needs and is truly a caring husband. Soon after this, he officially decides to take the job due to the numbers and how well it will set up his wife and son. Milos then begins to work out to get back into shape for the project in a montage that juxtaposes his hard work with shots of his dirtbag brother masturbating to his wife, which is a problematic theme the film will continue to return to, setting up the final, pretty fucking terrible climax of the film itself. Once the job begins, so does the depraved nature of this movie. With Buckmer as a maestro of filth and wickedness, the first shoot involves Milos receiving a blowjob while a young girl watches on while eating an ice pop. The young girl isn't involved with the sexual acts, but the situation is enough to truly upset Milos, and by extension, us as the viewers. With each encounter and shoot, the tasks are ramped up and become more and more gross and evil. As these gross and disgusting scenes are playing out, we also see Milos' home life with beautiful scenes of him and his family interacting. While it's clear his family is tight and he's a good father and husband, you can begin to see the life drain from him, and the new job is taking away his ability to really enjoy life. The scenes are also spliced in with more scenes involving Marco, one revealing that he cannot get an erection without using his brother's family's photos or home videos. After some more weird and disgusting film shoots and even more graphic nightmares, Milos decides to quit. Despite the money, he realizes the job is not only promoting something wrong and evil, but it is quite literally draining his will to live. Milos goes into work to tell Vukmir in person, then explains that he can't do scenes that involve children. This sets Vukmir off, who explains the importance of using children in his vision and how the children represent the victims of the state. This scene then explodes into a very graphic childbirth scene and the infamous newborn porn scene. Now this want to take a break from describing all this fucking horrible shit. And this is where the versions of the film start to get a little muddled. Because in the version I have seen, there, and like I said, as far as I know, it's not the edited version because it didn't say that on the DVD cover, and it didn't say it on the description of the movie, whatever, it doesn't matter. All I know is that I'm pretty sure that it's not the edited version. How, anyway, when it comes to this scene and a couple others, what's supposed to happen is very heavily implied in very disgusting ways. Nothing that is shown. There is no child pornography. There is nothing like that. But it is heavily implied that this is what's going to happen. And like, this is from the version I have seen. And I have heard stories of these scenes, like the newborn porn and the scene where the girl's eating an ice pop. It's all supposed to be a lot more graphic in other versions. That's why I said I'm not completely sure if there are other versions out there that are a lot more terrible and fucking graphic, or if I've just seen the edited version without knowing it. But like I said, in the version I have seen, none of that was ever shown. It was just very, very heavily implied. But pretty much everything that comes after this is fucking brutal, with Milos being drugged and turned into what is basically an enraged, horny monster of a man. His path of destruction, unbeknownst to him, leads him to beating women on camera while having sex with them, eventually beheading a woman while he has sex with her, and raping an unknown person while alongside a second man who is also raping an unknown person. In the end, he realizes the other rapist is his brother, and the two being raped are his own family. The sheer intensity of this moment is nearly impossible to handle for Milos, or for us, the viewer. The whole graphic mess of this final spree begins when Vukmer's people drug Milos, and it culminates in the final double rape. The specifics beyond the summary I just gave are pretty unnecessary, but rape and murder are the fucking keywords. All this is what makes this film both so effective and so fucking offensive. When Milos comes to, he realizes what he did and commits a murder-suicide. When Vukmer, accompanied by a cameraman and another man, find the bodies, the film ends with pretty heavy implications that they will be filming a necrophiliac scene. Well, much horrible and terrible shit goes on in this movie. It's kind of hard to deny when you really look into the history of Serbia's government and the shit that goes on there, that a Serbian film was created with the intent to say something about the treatment of the Serbian government of its people. While there are many other pieces out there that have broken it down with a better understanding of Serbian culture, Serbian atrocities, and what everything means, it comes down to a basic idea that the government fucks its people in their life, forces them to fuck each other, and then continues to fuck them even after they're dead. The infamous newborn porn scene is meant as an allegory that Serbians are screwed the moment they are born. Vukmir even says this in his explanation of why they are doing it. So, the idea that the Serbian man or woman is screwed from the day of their birth until they die, and even beyond death, is reinforced not only by the film's plot points, but by the story being told in the film within the film. What lends us even more legitimacy and credence to the story being told is the cast and crew of a Serbian film. The one who plays Milos is a respected actor from a respected acting family. The guy that plays Vukmer is not only a respected actor, but is politically active and helped form the liberal political activism group Movement of Free Citizens,
and is widely respected for using his voice to fight for the Serbian people. The cast and the crew are filled with respected members of Serbian stage and screen, a few with international experience as well. And despite a Serbian film's intense and brutal script, he had no trouble enlisting Serbian A-listers to get aboard his depraved and extreme film. It's hard to deny that this team must have really believed in the film's It's hard to deny that this team must have really believed in the film's message, especially when considering they knew the ire in their involvement would draw in their own country and beyond. The finale of this film is extremely graphic and intense, but it is also extremely well shot and framed. And the well-lit and well-crafted cinematography of a Serbian film brings a whole different level of depravity. It's decidedly less grimy stylistically, but that somehow allows the griminess of the actual story and effects to shine through in a more potent way. In short, it's an extremely well-made film and works all the better or worse, depending on how you see it, because of this. There is no doubt that a Serbian film isn't for everyone, and I'll admit that this is not a very good attempt at me trying to defend it. And I cannot defend the contents of the movie to anyone who doesn't feel like they could watch a film with elements of pedophilia, necrophilia, rape, extreme violence, gore, murder, and countless other taboos. It's just not for everyone. However, to throw the film out entirely while many continue lifting up a film like Salo or The 120 Days of Sodom is completely hypocritical. It's making the same type of powerful political statements with a competence that certainly rivals legitimate Hollywood fare, I guess is the best way to put it. Now, if it's something you think you can stomach and you can actually find it, go right ahead, explore it. Like I said, you will be disturbed, and you will be grossed out, and you will probably be disgusted with yourself for fucking watching it. But if you look past all the bullshit, all the shock for shock's sake, you will find a legitimate story underneath it. But if it's something you can't handle, I can't say I don't blame you. Or I'm sorry, I can't say that I blame you. It's, like I said, it was a very hard watch for me. And it's not a comfortable watch either. I don't know if it's just a version I've seen, but it's not as bad as people have made it out to be. No, it's not it's a very hard watch, like I keep saying. But it's not as bad as people have made it out to be. You have to look past all the bullshit. And I mean, like I said, who knows? Maybe I saw the edited version, and the non-edited version is even worse than what is shown in the edited version. So don't blame me for that if you see a different version from what I've described. I can only go on the version that I've seen, like I keep saying. But is it as bad as people have made it out to be? No. Is it fucked up? Yes. Is it dark? Yes. Is it fucked up? Fuck yes. And it's definitely not for everyone. But it's not worth all the hate and all the judgmental shit that it's received. Watch it for yourself. Make up your own mind. I'm just here to give my opinion on this shit. Doesn't mean it has to be yours. And that just about wraps it up. As always, you can reach out to me at darksyde9034@gmail.com. I'm Dustin, and this has been Tunes of Horror. I'll see you next time.